So good morning, Billy. We're here on the Resilient Kids podcast, talking with Billy from Sleeping Lions.
Good morning. Which
I love that title, and was one of the things that we used to say to our kids all the time, you know, to give myself a little break. Let's have a competition to see who can be the best sleeping lion.
Did it ever work?
Yeah, it did actually. And we also used to play it sometimes with the cubs, you know, with the young kids. Because actually, after a really fast game, sometimes they just wanted to chill.
Yeah, that's nice. Yes. Yes. Anyway, the whole idea is, that hopefully we'll get some rest and get some sleep. We're sleeping lions.
So, Billy, would you like to introduce yourself to us all, please?
Yeah. So my name's Billy Searing. I'm a sleep consultant with Sleeping Lions, and I started Sleeping Lions at the end of 2022, after a journey of going through some sleep issues with my daughter, who's almost two, so Margot. Margot was always a good sleeper in terms of what a good sleeper, what a good baby would be, that she slept good chunks during the nighttime. But we went through a phase where she would take a long time to settle, and it would be only me that could settle her. Dad wasn't allowed. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it was really affecting her sleep, my sleep, our relationship. I was just becoming very consumed by her sleep and realized that I needed to make a change, whatever that would be. So that we could all kind of get past it. So we did a little bit of sleep training, and I realized just how important and how massive the changes were for Margot and for me and for our family. And realized that that was something that I wanted to help other families with. That sleep is a huge part of our day, our 24 hours, but it's a massive part of our lives.
And absolutely, and I think that we didn't even realize it was a skill that you had to master.
No, before having children, I just thought babies will go to sleep and you'll just carry on with your day, and that's, you can go about your business, you can go out and do things. But when I was spending hours each day trying to rock Margot to sleep, I realized that sleep was my whole life now.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Okay, and so you found some strategies that work for you, but, you know, it's a big thing to all of a sudden decide to help other families. You know, how did you decide to do that?
I've always worked helping other people. So in my career before being a mum, I worked with people with disabilities and supporting them to have a great life. And so I knew that I wanted to help other people with whatever job or whatever career I had next. And it just kind of, I realized that this was a great way of helping families. It's not just helping that baby, it's helping their siblings, it's helping mum and dad, it's helping the whole family unit to keep running and to keep functioning and to function well. I think you can function on a couple of hours, but you're not doing a great job, and you're not going to be a resilient parent. But if you've got some quality sleep for everybody in the tank, then that will help you to be a great family.
Hey, so what are some of the things that families are having to cope with these days that you're seeing?
I think a lot of families probably just be comparing themselves to other people. So in mothers groups, play centers, you'll be talking, and my baby slept through the night at 3 weeks old, or my baby, you know, has only been waking up for one feed since they were born. And that mother or that father or that parent's probably sitting there thinking, well, we were up five times last night and it took hours to get back to sleep. But I'm going to say, yeah, same, me too. A lot of comparisons, and then going home and probably Googling and scrolling through all of the social media and all of the information available and realizing that a lot of babies, sure, do sleep well, but a lot of babies don't. And then wondering how to work with your baby and work with your family to help them sleep. There's so much information available out there, and I realize that I'm adding to that information.
Sure.
But I'm hoping that my information comes across as realistic. So something that you can actually do and actually change with your family to get better sleep, and relatable. So hopefully through my social media and my information, I come across as, we still have problems at nighttime. I was still up last night with Margot. but I've got a plan, and that's what gets us through the night and gets us back to sleep.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. So would you like to share some of the cool strategies that might help families?
Absolutely. I think the biggest strategy that I will go on and on and harp about is being consistent and having a plan. So if your child is having a few sleep bumps or a few sleep issues, sit down and think, how are we going to work on this? And it's much better to make that plan in the daylight than it is in the dark when you're sitting there trying to get somebody to sleep, trying to go to sleep yourself. Mm. So sit down and have a think about what it is and how it is that you could settle your baby. And that comes down to what your baby's temperament is. Do they like lots of touch, or is that overstimulating for them? Are they going to be awake more because you're touching and cuddling and rocking, or do they just need you to sit beside them and reassure them? How long are you going to try and settle them for? So will you try for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour? And how long can you manage to try? So it might be that you are sitting there trying to get them to sleep, but feeling a bit more worked up as time goes by. Do you need to leave them alone for a minute for their sake and your sake? So have a think about what your limits will be.
Yeah.
And have a think about what your parenting approach is. So some parents cannot handle their baby crying for a minute, and that's absolutely fine. And some babies can walk, some families can walk away from their baby for a minute and just let them have a little cry, take a breather and come back. Work out what you can handle as a parent and how you're going to approach the settling. I think having that plan, write it down if you need to, have it in your head, but having that plan made in the daytime will help you at nighttime.
Mm. So what you're saying is creating a plan that will help create some habits for the family so that you don't have to think about it too much in the moment. It's there and kind of like a little instruction for you as a parent who's maybe feeling exhausted and at their wit's end a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can't think clearly at 2 a.m. when you've been startled awake yourself. You're not going to be able to rationally think, right, what am I doing? What's next? How long are we doing this? But if you've already thought that out earlier on in the day and you can just run through your plan in the dark, then you're going to be much more successful at helping your little person back to sleep.
Mm.
And I think if in the middle of the night you try one strategy and then you try something else and then you try something else, you're not only confusing yourself about what you're trying to do, but your little person doesn't know what's to expect, what's coming next. Will you rock them now? Will you put them down in the cot? Will you walk out? They're confused, so they're not going to settle to sleep.
Okay, so I hadn't thought about that in terms of if we keep trying different things, then we're confusing our children and we're interrupting the habit that we're trying to create.
Absolutely. I think it's better to have your plan, and if it's not working, take a break and then come back to the plan instead of try something else.
I read a really cool book a long time ago now about creating habits.
Mm-hmm.
And what I learned was that everything that we do has a series of, steps in terms of creating a habit. And do you want to share anything about habit making?
We can start making habits from very early on with babies. So with newborn babies, I would definitely not recommend sleep training or creating routines or anything. It's all just take it as it comes in the beginning for the first few months for the baby and the parent. But you can start building habits and foundations for habits from day one. You can start with a little wind down routine and getting them ready for bed the same way each day. So you might have a play, have a feed, change a nappy, into the swaddle and into bed. That's not a strict routine, but you're starting to build a habit there that when they're a little bit older and you're starting to settle them for bed, they already kind of know what's happening.
Mm.
So unintentionally, you've built a habit there.
Right.
And you might notice around 3, 4, 5 months that your baby starts kicking back a little bit when you get the swaddle out because they know what's happening. They've learned that habit from early on. And they might start protesting a little bit because they want an extra cuddle, or they know what's, they're going to bed soon. But it's actually a great sign that they've learnt those habits and that they're developing that understanding of what's happening around them.
Mm.
So I do hear from a lot of parents saying, my baby hates it when I get the swaddle out. Yeah, the baby probably doesn't want to go to sleep yet. They'd rather a cuddle. But you need to help them to get ready for sleep so that they can go down in a good wake time and they're not overtired. But it shows that they're learning, that you've developed a habit with them.
It's really, really cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think that's really nice.
When you turn around and take a second to realize what's happening and why your baby is doing something, then you can see how much progress and how much success and how much development and learning and great things that are going on for that baby.
That's really nice. And so building those really early processes for helping us to be able to sleep. But what happens if something goes wrong in the family and those routines or those processes get a little bit muddled because events happen or people go on holiday or things change, or you know, there's a interruption to the normal family routine?
I talk a lot with families about building those good habits and building those good foundations so you can have days that go off track, so that you can have trips or holidays, or you know, go to the zoo and spend a little bit longer out and not have to worry about racing home for nap time. Because if your baby has got a good sleep foundation, they'll be able to handle those days off track a lot more. And when they're over, so when you come back from the holiday, or you know, grandparents have left, then they'll be able to get back on track easier. So I think having those good routines and those good foundations will help you have more fun and do other things down the track.
So what do you know about the impact of not getting enough sleep for both babies and parents?
Yeah, absolutely. Sleep is vital for all of our health and our brain development and our day-to-day functioning. And without the right amount and without quality sleep, then those things aren't going to happen well for us. So a baby needs more sleep than an adult does, obviously, and without getting that good sleep, then the baby may not be able to develop as well. Their immunity might be affected, their digestion will be affected, all of their body systems are going to be affected. So we really need to help our babies get the sleep that they need, and that's daytime sleep and nighttime sleep. The daytime and the nighttime sleep won't replace each other, so you can't keep your baby up all day and then just give them a big nighttime sleep and they'll be fine. They do need that nap or the naps during the daytime to help them recharge and to help kind of clean the brain, help them consolidate all their memories and their learning for later in the day and set them up for a good night's sleep.
What do you mean about cleaning the brain?
So the brain and as we're learning and as we're developing, making memories, we've got a little bit of kind of dust or things that are happening in the brain that we might not need and might not need to consolidate. And so when we sleep, the brain will work its magic and do all of its amazing things to kind of take those bits away and leave the brain ready again for later in the day to make more memories, learn more things.
It's really fascinating.
It is, absolutely. So it's a real use it or lose it kind of thing. So if our babies are busy doing their play, doing their learning during the daytime, then the brain will kind of clean away all the bits that we don't need, that they're not using or they won't need in the future. And that will happen while they're sleeping.
Gosh.
The brain is wonderful and it needs sleep to be able to do its good things.
And so what other things do parents come to you concerned about?
It depends on the baby's age, but a lot of the things that we see are that the baby won't settle down for their naps. So a lot of babies, understandably, the smaller babies will come out wanting cuddles and wanting contact naps. They've been inside their mum for 9 months, been close. They can hear mum's blood, can hear her heartbeat. They're nice and warm, and that's their favourite environment. And, of course, they want to continue that while they're on the outside. But sometimes parents just want to put their babies down and step away so they can have a shower or they can get something warm to eat or drink a hot coffee. And the baby's not okay with that. So we work a lot with families on transferring from contact napping to having a sleep in the bassinet or in the cot. Some parents do co-sleep. So they choose to co-sleep and they do that proactively and set it up safely, or they're reactively co-sleeping and it's just something that they've ended up doing because that's the only way they can get sleep with their baby. Mm-hmm. And it comes a time often where that's just not sustainable anymore for the family, and will help families to transfer their baby into the cot or into their own bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Working with families, I will go through the family's goals, what it is that they want to achieve around their baby's sleep, and we'll work on a plan regarding their baby's temperament, their parenting approach, how fast they want to make these changes. For some families, they're happy over the next 6 months to make these changes. Mm-hmm. Other families are in a bit more of a situation where they need 2 weeks. You know, mum might be going back to work, or things just really aren't working for the family and they need to do it a little bit more urgently. So we can consider the time frame. I'll also look at
so just to interrupt, so we can actually make changes quite quickly, is that what you're saying?
We can do, yeah. So it depends on the approaches to the settling and the sleeping that we will take with the family and with the baby. But if it's a baby that needs lots of touch and lots of reassurance, that's probably going to take a little bit longer to peel that back slowly so that the baby is okay. But often the parents need the time as well. Mm. And I will work with families depending on where they are in their journey and how ready they are and how fast they want to go.
Mm. And I'm thinking about, you know, children also who maybe have more trouble with sleeping, and then they get to school and want to go on sleepovers and they can't. So do you get into that space too?
So I work with children up to the age of 5. So yeah. Often they're not quite ready for the sleepovers, but they might be going to grandma's house for a sleepover. Mm. And we do find a lot of the time the parents would speak to me and say, oh, they're having these sleep issues at home, but when they go to grandma's, they're little angels and fall asleep and they sleep all night. So I do see that sleep can be different in different environments. We'll find that sleep at daycare versus sleep at home is different, and how can we transfer the skills across, or find out what's happening there and what can we use at home, for example. But I do only work up to 5 years old with families. Yeah.
So do you know of anyone else who's around that can help with children who are older?
Yeah, so I'm part of a wonderful group of other sleep consultants, and we've all trained through the Baby Sleep Consultants, which is a New Zealand program. And there's so many different extra skills that people have. So there's consultants that will work with older children and adults. We've got consultants that can work with children with special needs. So we've got a great kind of referral system. If we have somebody that is interested in developing their children's sleep, then we can speak with the other consultants.
Mm-hmm. And so is there a site that people can go to explore that for themselves if their kids are over 5?
Not so much a site, but even if anybody reached out to me, then I'm happy to speak with other consultants and find someone that fits. Mm-hmm. I think the fit of a consultant is really important.
Mm.
So it's not just, yep, I'll work with you and help your family. It's, do we gel as people? Are we getting along?
Yeah,
that's really nice. Yeah, do you trust me to sleep? And making changes is huge. Mm. If you don't really trust me or the information I'm providing you, then it's not going to work, and it's not going to work for either of us.
Yeah. Mm. I'm also interested, because we've been talking quite a bit about, well, in the general community anyway, around devices and sleep.
Mm.
Have you got any comments around those in that topic?
My main comment would be around the blue light that devices give off, and that the blue light can block the hormone production, which really helps sleep. So around the melatonin and the serotonin. If your child's using devices and that's how you're involving them in your day, that's great. I'm not going to stop that. But I might suggest that we stop using devices an hour or so before bedtime,
mm-hmm.
so that the sleep hormones can start building and that sleep time may be a little bit easier, because it's going to help encourage them to sleep. The same with night lights. So a blue light based nightlight can impact sleep as well. So a lot of families around 2 years old may start using a nightlight. Their child's starting to show signs of being scared of the dark or monsters, or their imagination is just going crazy.
So
that's something I'll look at, is if you're using a nightlight, what kind of color, what kind of bulb is it? And is it giving off a blue based light or a red based light? So I'd encourage a red light.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Cool.
But with the technology and things, is like, have a think about the type of things that your children's watching. So if it's something that is really going to boost their imagination and get them thinking about monsters and scaries and things, that probably will affect their sleep. As they're drifting off, they might think about that scary thing. And then it's going to be harder for them to settle as well. So,
yeah. Okay, so what other things would you like to tell us before we finish up today?
A few things I've been thinking about is that being sleep deprived and being tired is not a rite of passage of parents. You don't have to be sleep deprived. We can help you and your whole family to get better quality and better quantity of sleep. Yep, little babies are going to wake up during the nighttime. They have to wake up to feed, and they have to wake up to be changed, and they want that connection with their parents. But I can help support you to make sure that those wake-ups are age and stage appropriate, and that you're responding to them in a way that's going to help your baby get back to sleep.
Right.
And for older children as well, they still will wake up during the nighttime. But I can help you to support your child back to sleep in a way that, again, will be a bit faster, that's not going to interrupt their sleep cycles, that's not going to interrupt their whole night of sleep and impact their day of sleep as well. I think as a new parent, you often think, oh, I'm going to be up forever. That's just something, and I'll get on with it. You don't have to get on with it. And we can work together to make sure that any wake-ups are kind of appropriate ones. And I think one of the other things that, as I've been thinking about the podcast and what I'd like to share with families, is that often, I guess I'm a mother, so I can speak from a mother's perspective, or from my perspective, is I kind of felt like a martyr, like I will stay up, I will do the settling, I'm the mum, it's my job. But if you've got a supportive partner, they probably want to be involved with all of that as well. But I think we often rush because we're the mums, we can do it. So involve your partner if they're there and willing and supporting, and involve the rest of the family or the rest of your community or your village. Maybe they can help to settle your child. Maybe they can, you know, give you a little break if you need it. But I think it is important to ask for help or accept help if you're not great at asking. I'm not great at asking for help, but I am learning to accept it when it's offered. I got myself into a situation where it was only me who could settle my daughter, and her dad wanted to help, but I'd encouraged her to only want me.
Right. It's a very subtle process, isn't it? How we reward our behaviours. Yes. And the interesting thing is that once we wake up to that, because we know how habits form, we can change them quite quickly.
Yep, absolutely.
And I think the first step in that is making a decision that we want it to be different.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And that it can be so hard to make that decision, and it can take so long. And when you do finally make the decision, why didn't I do this earlier?
And I think also the thing is that if we're wanting our children to be competent and able in their lives, the earlier that they learn to be able to sleep well, to be able to eat well, all the basics to be able to manage themselves, then the more they can get onto the other things that make life rich and gorgeous.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So thank you so much for talking with me today, and we'll put your website and contact details into whatever it is that we say that again. So we'll put your details into the information alongside the podcast so that people can access you, and if they want some help in different parts of the country, also to be able to connect
that would be
with
great.
Other people. So thank you for that. Any last thoughts before we say cheerio today?
Just that good sleep is available for your whole family, for your child and the siblings and mum and dad and everybody involved in your family unit. And you can reach it. It's not difficult. And I'm here to support. That's my main job as a sleep consultant, is I'm here to support you, hold your hand along the way of making those changes once you're ready for it.
Yeah, nice. And I think when you say it's not difficult, I think it's really hard. But the process is actually pretty much the same. So that part's not difficult.
Yes. Yeah.
Once we know what to do.
Yes.
And hold ourselves. And it's lovely that you're there to be able to walk alongside people. So thank you so much.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity to talk about sleep. I'm quite passionate about baby sleep now. I never thought I would be.
That's really lovely.
Great. All right. Thank you.